Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Shine service this morning. I am one of your pastors at the church. My name is Reverend Dan Hart, and I just am so glad that you're here. We've got some great things happening in worship. We've got some wonderful music, as you've already heard some of that wonderful music. We've got some original music, and we're welcoming new members this morning. So I'm so glad you're here. Pastor Lori's going to come up and give us some announcements, and then we'll get ready for worship.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I have too many papers in my hand, so maybe I'll just ditch them. I need to share some announcements with you, just a few. First of all, we're really glad you're here. Thank you for the warm welcome that you have given to Dan and Autumn. We would like to invite you to go over to their new home, which is right across the street. All right, it's not their new home yet, but it will be. They haven't moved in yet. But we own a house that they're going to live in. It's called the Little Red House on Pleasant Street. If you ever go back and forth on Pleasant, you see most of them are not little red houses. So right after we're done from 12 to 2, I would encourage you to wander across the parking lot. You can't miss the Little Red House. There will be people there, and you can go through. That's such a wonderful job that we've done in refurbishing, remodeling that house. So that's one thing. Another thing I want to ask you to do, put on your calendars, is this Friday night, we're going to do a program. Are we okay here? Anyway, we're gonna have a program here in the CLC related to our general conference. For those of you who don't have a background in the United Methodist Church, we have an overarching body around the world that makes decisions on behalf of the United Methodist Church. We're going to have a forum here, a chance for you to learn more about what the important issues are that is facing our denomination right now. It's Friday from 7 to 9 right here in the CLC. I really encourage you to come and learn more about the United Methodist Church.
your way back to your seats. Won't you stand as we sing and praise the Lord? How great thou art. Classic hymn of the faith to a new one we've introduced to you before. Lord, do anything you want in me. Anything.
Change my heart that I
We move to our time of prayer. I would invite you to sit down and to continue to sing with us as we share in a new classic of faith from Griff Tomlin, How Great Is Our God. Let's pray together.
The splendor of Rejoice. darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is thy God? Sing with me, how great is thy God? All will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb.
God, you are so unmistakably and so impossibly great. Lord, as we gather this morning as a group of believers, remind us of the words we just sang, and Lord, print them on our heart. I believe. Help my unbelief. What a powerful prayer. Lord, we all struggle. We all struggle with doubt, with fear, with anxiety, with not trusting you enough. Lord, we turn that over to you this morning. Lord, help to remind us that anything we can face, anything we have ever faced, and anything we will ever face is not bigger than you. Lord, we come to this place and we join our voices in song, we join our hearts in prayer, and Lord, we now join together in silence, sharing with you things that we may share with no one else. Lord, hear our prayer. incredible honor and privilege it is, Lord, to come before the Creator of all the universe and to know that you're listening to us. Lord, thank you for always being there for us, for always listening to us, for always answering our prayers in your perfect time. And Lord, now we join our voices together once again as we share in the words your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
At this time, we're going to do the offering, right? Yeah. All right. So, please take the baskets that are here. Part of what it means to be faithful and to love God is to love the world, and we love the world by sharing with others. So please pass the baskets and sign the friendship pads that you have and pass that down the row as well. All right, let's pray. God, we are so grateful to be here today. What a privilege it is to be able to sing your praises, to gather with other disciples of Jesus Christ, and to recommit ourselves to you and to your work in the world. So we offer to you through these gifts all that we are and all that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a great opportunity right now to welcome some new members into the life of our congregation. The mission of the church. Why are we Christians? We are disciples of Jesus Christ so that we can make other disciples of Jesus Christ, so we can share our faith and witness to God's love in such a way that others will be inspired to want what we have. And so we are delighted that we have people that in both the sanctuary service and here that are making a commitment to become members of this church and profess their faith. And so I want to introduce Mary Feldmeyer, who is our Director of Membership Care. And is that it?
It's close enough.
Membership and Congregational Care. It's close enough. And Mary is the one who works so diligently with all of our membership concerns and joys, and she is the one that's going to introduce our new members.
It is my privilege and pleasure. I would like to ask the new members to come join us up here, and if you will turn and face the congregation. When I introduce you, if you would kind of give a royal wave or a hallelujah or praise Jesus, either any of those would be workable. Dean and Lisa Ackerman. Their son, Brennan, is joining in absentia today, but their daughter, Ellie, is here. Autumn Hart, the better half of Dan and Autumn Hart. I just had to get that in. Kathy Neff, and Dan and Liz Rito.
All right. We have questions that we're going to ask them, and they're ones that you were probably asked when you joined the church. Questions of our faith. The first one is, do you in the presence of God in this congregation renewed the vow that was made or that was made in your name at your baptism? If so, please say we do.
And do you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and pledge your allegiance to his kingdom? If so, say we do.
Do you receive our faith that is contained in the Old and New Testaments? Please say we do.
And will you reflect that faith in the lives that you lead, the work you do, the examples you set, and the service you render. Let's see, we will.
And will you be loyal to this congregation of the United Methodist Church, upholding it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your witness, and your service? If so, please say, we will. Now, as a symbol of the commitment of those who are standing here, they're going to give to us what we call their estimate of giving card. If you're a member of this church, you receive an estimate of giving card every year, because one of the ways in which we demonstrate our faith is by how we give and how we make a difference in the world through our financial resources. So those who have their cards, I know we have one here, and this is a symbol, simply a symbol of their commitment. Thank you. And we'll make sure we'll have the others at some point. So we're grateful to everybody, and I'm going to throw this back to Dan.
Yeah. This is a commitment to you. Friends in Christ, on behalf of the whole church, I encourage you to be generous to one another, sympathetic, forgiving one another as readily as God forgave you in Christ. Take Christ as your pattern and follow him by loving as he has loved you. Along with this group here, there's a group of 23 new members that joined the church.
I'll put on my teacher voice. So as you respond to this call, please remember that as you meet and greet them in the future. We give thanks. Brothers and sisters, I commend to your love and care these persons whom this day we receive into the membership of this congregation. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. And your response would be, we give thanks for all that
God
has
already given to you, and we welcome you in Christian love. Christ, under this church, the United Methodist Church, to participate in ministries of the church by our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, that in everything God may be glorified, Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Welcome to First Church.
Thank you, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. Pretend I'm behind a curtain. Okay. I'm thankful that I got to participate in the new member class this time around and got to learn as well as these now experts. So, our scripture lesson this morning comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he turned to Thomas and said, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the contemplations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I saw a comic the other day about doubting Thomas. And in this comic, he was pleading with the other disciples, trying to justify why he was called out for his doubt. Why am I called doubting Thomas? Why are you not called denying Peter or betraying Judas? But no, Thomas, across all of time, has been known best for his doubt. This strange and interesting story that we hear this morning is used by our gospel writer to dispel the questions of the early followers over the divinity and humanity of Christ. The writer of John is really saying Christ is resurrected. And even though he is able to transverse things we cannot, you know, like walking through walls, he is still real, human enough in resurrection that you can physically touch his wounds. Christ is not a spirit or a ghost, but is the reincarnated God coming back to his disciples as a man again. And so we hear in the beginning of this scripture reading about the act of return, the acknowledgement of Christ's return, and then we move to the doubts of the early Christian community and the early skeptics of the resurrection. And Thomas becomes the symbol of doubt and belief. To disprove the doubt by the dramatic act of Christ's invitation to test his doubt and prove Christ's reality through the direct touch, it is like Christ is saying, "If you can't believe, then feel for yourself if I am real." And Thomas reacts in faith, moved beyond doubt. Maybe we would be too if we could see. This is also an invitation for the hearers of this word to be invited from doubt to faith in the resurrected Lord. The question is, does it hold up over time? Are we convinced when we find pain and struggles in our lives? Does the testimony of Thomas hold up? Are we transformed like the disciples, or when it comes down to it? Are we always sure of the human improbability of resurrection? Or are we moved to unwavering faith by the gospel writer's testament or truth? Or do we wonder? Do we yearn for that same proof? Where are Christ's hands? How can I believe? Doubting Daniel. How are we labeled over time? Throughout most of my life, I've had few doubts in Christ, and as a child, I believed in God and Christ, and though I had no idea what the Holy Spirit was as a child, I knew it existed. And as I got into high school and then into college, I still didn't doubt much, but my questions of God's interaction in my life began to grow, and when I prayed for guidance. And even though I did not fully understand what that meant, I prayed. Yet when I got into seminary, I began to hear challenges to my normality and began to relearn the things that I always accepted as true. I began to wonder more and more, and each day dive deeper into the many facets of our faith and the core understanding of our triune God. And as we would study and read the works of the faithful followers over the ages, we would get to see the conflict in their own lives. And as we read deeper into the stories of the Bible, we could see the conflict of doubt and disbelief in the stories. The doubt and questions that arose when I looked deeper eventually became the catalyst for growth, a deeper understanding. But it was not always easy. In my third year of seminary, I began to work in a rehabilitation hospital in Chicago as a chaplain. And I began to question more and more why God would allow bad things to happen to innocent people, especially as I worked on the pediatric floor, talking to families of children, sometimes less than 3 years old, struggling to understand why their child had sustained a severe brain injury, and trying to put the pieces of their lives back together in new ways as they pondered bringing their child home. And each day I would leave the hospital carrying the burdens of many of my patients that I had met in that day, often lamenting the lives that they had been dealt and wondering why some suffer more than others, deserved or not. While I was making the rounds one day, greeting each new patient admitted to the hospital on the floors that I usually covered, I came upon a woman in her mid-50s. And when I greeted her and told her I was a chaplain, her eyes lit up. And she began to tell me about some of what she had experienced, a long bout with cancer, doctors having to remove parts of her organs, and the fact that she had been eating through a tube for years on end at that point. But she looked with great joy in telling me what she would eat with her very first meal when she could. I was thinking about the best meals I had ever had and what I would eat if it was my first meal in years. Autumn's a vegetarian, I would go with steak. And she said, communion. Bread and wine. That is what I would want because I know that without Christ, I would not be here today. I prayed with her. I apologized that I wasn't Catholic as she kept calling me Father. And trying to get me to sneak her bread and juice, not juice. And she kept telling me, it can't hurt. I couldn't do that for her. But she did put into perspective all the doubt that I had on behalf of all the patients that I had met. She helped me to see Christ where I could not see Christ before. Sometimes faith is seeing where God is with us in the struggles we encounter and understanding that we are not alone. That is not to say we are never allowed to doubt. In fact, so much of our faith story is grounded through the stories of the people who came before us. And they had so many of the same questions that we still have today. I still to this day struggle with that problem of suffering. But for this moment in time, I learned from the faith of this woman that God can be present even when we can't see God in our lives or in the lives of others. And Christ can be present even in the times when we feel most alone. And sometimes all the faithfulness that we can muster is the ability to question deeply and listen for God's response.
Mary, crying because I desperately wanted what the preacher was saying to be true, but my doubts were preaching a sermon of their own, and the streams of my tears turned into oceans of frustration. I remember sitting in a college classroom, and the only thing being tested is my faith in God. The only thing passing is my hope. Me in a backpack full of fear. Nowhere to go, no one to help me unpack. I sleep, but I never rest. These lines around my eyes are not wrinkles, they are maps that show you the winding roads that lead to my pain. I'm tired, and I'm longing for the day that I can place my fingers in his nail-pierced hands, because honestly, I've considered quitting, but where will I go? back. There's no home for the living in the land of the dead, so I keep pressing forward. Today I have faith, but I can't make any promises about tomorrow. I'm surprised I've held on this long. God, just make me feel like I'm not crazy. God, let me know that I'm not just making friends with these walls. When I pray, I'm not questioning you. I've just got questions. Don't leave me here. Don't leave me. My child, when it seems like you have all the right questions, but never enough answers, and your faith is small enough to fit in the cracks of your palms, I told you. Faith the size of mustard seeds can rearrange whole landscapes and turn mountains into open highways. Faith comes by my word, so maybe you've cuffed your ears. My child, don't be childish. But consider the child whose faith has not quite learned the definition of impossible. Have your questions. I'm not telling you to have a blind faith. I'm telling you to consider the blind men who had faith and believed my words before they were even able to see me. Consider the birds that eat from my hand and do not fall from the sky without my consent. So how much more will I love the ones that I died for? Before you doubt me, doubt your doubts. Doubt your doubts, and you will see they are just as empty as the tomb that I walked from. Truth is, you know I'm here.
I love his words. I love the realness of his struggle and the response from God. I love the reminder that God can do great things even with the smallest seed. And I think we should explore our doubts. And like he said, doubt our doubts. But the message that I take from this that outweighs the rest is the idea that at the foundation of it, the Christian faith is predicated on the hope and belief that Christ is with us. Even today, Christ is with us and through the Holy Spirit. So again, from my perspective, this is not a call to never question, but a reminder that we must be willing to hear Christ's response to our questions, to grow deeper through the work of our faith. In my eyes, Christ is with us because God took the drastic act of coming to us in Christ. And not just standing amongst us, but suffering like us, knowing pain and anger and frustration and sadness, God came to us to know us so that when we struggle, Christ lives in solidarity with our struggle. And when we hurt, God in Christ takes on our hurt as well. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16 says, "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confessions, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are and yet without sin." So although we doubt, we know that Christ stands with us not to punish us, but to carry us to a better place. God remains our foundation. Even when we traverse rocky ground, God does not abandon us. In fact, when you read the stories of the Bible, doubters are in good company, because we are not alone in questioning, and we are not alone in being called out of our doubt to be the hands and feet of Christ for the world. Because God has used doubting prophets to overthrow oppression, God has used questioning disciples to build God's church, and God has used faint faith leaders to bring God's body of believers to the place we reside today. I'm going to give you one more chance, and what I'm going to invite you to do is to say those things with me, if I can bug Yale to do that. Because God has used doubting prophets to overthrow oppression. All right, I'm going to give you one more chance. It's up on the screens, all right? Because God has used doubting prophets to overthrow oppression. God has used questioning disciples to build God's church. And God has used faint faith leaders to bring God's body of believers to the place we reside today, carrying us to today. And so wherever you reside, in times of assurance, in times of doubt, in times of pain, in times of joy, the Bible tells us that God is real and present. The invitation is not that we never question. There is no call for blind faith, but to be open to the possibility that God can work in you and through you in spite of your questions. That God can even deepen the faith of others through you, even when you may be unsure. But the power of Christ comes through the truth that Christ came and suffered and died, then defeated sin and death in resurrection. But when we struggle with pain in our own lives, God in Christ is not some faraway deity dictating our pain, but instead stands with us in solidarity. As we enter into this week, and when we leave this place, what I would like you to do is to consider the times when you questioned most. And then consider from those times the things that you learned and how you grew. Let us bow our heads and pray. Eternal God, how often we seek to prove your truth, and when we can't, how often we wonder. But you have put in place the words of assurance, the actions of truth. You have already claimed us and molded us to know your love. So use our questions to draw us closer. Use our doubt to bring forth love. Stand with us in our pain and hurt and pull us closer when we can't see your face. As your beloved people, flawed and incomplete, we pray. Amen.
This is a brand new song we're going to record for our live album. Enjoy this. And thanks for Pastor Dan for a great reason to write a song. We always knew someday we'd get thrown here into the gloom of a room locked away. No windows, doors, no escape from the insurgents. A stormy stop on the wheel of fate. Discordant chords like swords falling round me, clang out loud as a blasphemy. I cover my ears, but still it cuts through me. I lift my eyes and sink to my knees. We're all either grounded by build our paradigms and lives on stone. end of this struggle, and wrestling angels has left me lame. My orphan's voice keeps murmuring, help me, a portrait fallen without a frame. We're all either crowded back or crowded in something. We all build our paradigms and lives on stone or sand. Core of who we are, the choices made in our foundation. And when life is crashing waves, will our faith hold fast or just be blown away? And when all control is gone, is there stone to help us to hang on? Oh, yes, there is. Yeah, only the grounded.
As we go forth from this place relying on the foundation of God, let God use us both in doubt and faith, that we may reach out our hands and care for all of God's creation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I know you're there, and I can feel you. I will not fear, I will trust in you, and I will. I know you're with me to help me stand. I spread out the skies over empty space. Said, let there be light into a dark and formless world. Your light was born. You spread out your arms over empty hearts. Said, let there be light into a dark and hopeless world. Your son was born. The world and saw that it was good. You sent your only son, for you are good. What a wonderful maker, what a wonderful savior, how majestic you. Son, for you are good.